You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. 2 hat tricks in 4 games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats? Modge Podge.
Hodgepodge?
Hodgepodge.
Modge Podge.
Yeah, there's a Modge Podge. Whole Modge Podge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modge Podge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental on MLSsoccer.com and Sirius XMFC Channel 85. I am Andrew Wiebe, as always, with me, David Goss, up in the blue room, but we've got an extra special guest on an extra special day because the MLS secondary transfer window closed on Wednesday night at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. It slammed shut, and we've got Ollie Curtis in the building. Former MLS executive, former sporting director of the New York Red Bulls. Ali, it's been a pleasure. You joined us for our live show on Facebook Live. If you guys aren't liking our Facebook page out there at facebook.com/extratimelive, do so. You're a star, man. You were born to do it.
Thanks for having me. It's exciting times for all the teams, for all the league. Lots going on, so it's great to be here.
Yeah,
sick of us yet.
It was a
We've
fun
been
window.
For like 3 hours already.
I wonder what he was thinking when that red light goes and it's like, yeah, normal energy, and then pow, right up to the top. At this time of year, it doesn't take much to get me excited because the end of the transfer window this summer in MLS was a doozy. Carlos Vela, of course, you saw him coming to LAFC. They did the whole, track jacket, flat bill, raise his face. That's apparently their new reveal. That was very cool. But the big winners at the deadline, none other than DC United. Dead last in the Eastern Conference, DCR. We knew they had to make some moves. We did not know if it would happen this summer. All of a sudden, the flurry came in, and we've got Dave Casper coming up after the break in the second segment. He will help us walk through everything and break it all down. And if you didn't get that Paul Areola interview on Extra Time Live, go back and check that out as well. It'll be on MLSsoccer.com and the MLS app to boot. We'll talk about DC then. I have a feeling they'll be in our winners and losers side. I want to talk about the biggest signings, though. Let's start big picture. Yes, Dave, you can make fun of me for the phrase. Carlos Vela. Jonathan Dos Santos, Paul Areola, who, by the way, cost $3.5 million reportedly from Club Tijuana. Pedro Santos, multi-million dollar transfer fee for him to Crew SC. Yoshi Yotun, a big DP signing for Orlando City. We've kind of bounced these around. I think you have to throw Tomas Martinez in there. Probably Vaco deserves a shout, too. But these were the biggest signings of the window. Ali, what stands out to you? What's the biggest? What's the signing that really gets your antenna up and says, wow, statement of intent?
I think they're all big signings, all exciting for the teams and for the league. I'm a big fan of Carlos Vela and what they're doing out in LAFC. You know, they signed Bob Bradley as the coach, and you get a big-time talented player with experience that can really help you hit the ground running from day one. And Vela's that type of talent. So I'm sure they had the GM and the coach had some time to speak with the player and get a sense of his personality and his short and long-term objectives. So I think this is a great signing for the club and for the league, and it gives them the opportunity to really sit down with the player over the next 5-6 months and really map out what this thing's going to look like.
Maybe not the biggest signing, but if you're Crew SC, you put out a record amount for a player. That's interesting to me.
Same thing with DC, yeah.
Yeah, that shows your intent. It also shows you, this guy's 29 years old. This isn't a buy now to sell later type guy. This isn't, David Villa. This is this guy's going to, just to sell tickets. This guy's going to come in and play. And this is showing you where the Crew are at right now, I think, which is, one, we think we're close. I don't know that I really came into this window thinking that fully. And I think also that they understand what's happening in the league and they're taking a step up. And Atlanta came in, and they're spending money in a different way. Seattle has changed the league. Toronto has changed the league. And everyone's going to have to figure out a way to handle that. Salt Lake is building this academy, and they're going through youth. And we see it with additions like Savarino and Rusnak. This is another step for Crew of saying, like, we're going to go get in their prime European players to come in here and make a difference.
Yeah, reportedly more than $2 million spent on Pedro Santos. He's a right winger. I think we can be very sure in that assumption. That's what he says he likes to play. He says he can go both sides. But
little tidbit on it was they say that when Greg Berhalter first talked to Braga, he was $5 million.
Really?
Like a year and a half ago. So, yeah, he's 29 when he was maybe 27, 28. But to save $3 million, not a bad piece
either
of business.
That or Braga is out here throwing numbers, yeah. Pulling them out of the nether regions and saying $5 million. When you see, Ali, these numbers being bandied around, because Paul Arriola costs $3.5 million from Club Tijuana, according to reports. That is the club record as well. They paid a transfer fee, of course, for Jonathan Dos Santos. He cost a pretty penny. Zoltan Stiber came in to D.C. as well. We thought he was going to cost $1 million. It was free. That's a good piece of business for them. But what I'm struck by in this market, especially on these signings in the window, I remember a time where to even hear about a transfer fee would just kind of make your you know, you get goosebumps from it because it just never happened, and it certainly never happened at the levels we're seeing now. What's changed?
So a lot of things have changed. You know, for one, the roster size have increased. The number of international roster slots has increased. That's giving you the opportunity to go out into the international market, bring in new players. And then also you've got these, what I would say is there's just more allocation money into the system. And that's really a function of, you know, a new CBA that dictates that there has to be a certain amount of allocation available to the teams. That's also, you know, the number of expansion teams has increased, and those expansion teams have gotten a significant amount of allocation such that they can stock their teams. And you're seeing that these teams are wanting to not only win in the long term, but win right away, almost in the sense of how Seattle did it when they entered the league. And then all the investment that the ownership groups have built into the system with regard to this targeted allocation money has been phenomenal. So, you know, the GMs around the league have more tools at their disposal such that they can go out and make these signings happen, whether it's via loan, via transfer. At the end of the day, you know, more resources, more tools requires these GMs to be more cognizant and sophisticated with how they structure contracts, what the term looks like, what are the bonuses, all those things associated with bringing players in still and having some type of financial discipline. But I think it's really, really exciting. You're seeing just the interest around the league with players and with fans. So it's good times right now.
If you're Greg Berhalter, you want to get this guy. You feel like you're maybe getting a deal from that $5 million, like Dave said, but you still need cash and a lot of it up front. As a GM, when you go to your owner, what are you saying? How are you selling these moves? Has there been, in your opinion, a changing of kind of the perception of ownership to say, yeah, you know what, to keep up with the Atlantas, the Seattles, the LAs, the LAFCs, now both New York teams, other teams are spending money, it's not just them, we've got to spend on the front end, and I'm willing to do so. How do you sell it, and has that changed?
Well, I think that there is been this trend. You've got all this new ownership, and you know, Columbus has a smart young owner in Anthony Precourt. Greg Berhalter is a talented, experienced coach, and so you've got this diversity of thought around the league. You've got folks in Columbus that know what they're doing. They have an identity. They know who they want to be. They've changed that identity. You know, I think over the last three or four years is when they kind of modified and relaunched. But they know who they want to be. And when you have an identity and you have a strategic plan, it makes funding those initiatives a lot more, a lot easier. So I think that's what's going on in Columbus, and it's happening in a lot of other markets around the league. So it's exciting times. And yeah.
Trades? Do we want to talk about trades? Because those numbers are jumping out to me too. We're talking about $425K in allocation for Ethan Finley. He goes from Crew SC to Minnesota United, and that makes sense. They bring in a right winger. They spend all those resources on him. That's split over 2 years, Dave, $100K this year, and then
it goes to
the rest next year.
Right, but it goes to what Ali said is expansion teams have this allocation money. So it looked like funny money when they went out and got Kevin Molino, which Orlando turns around and sends to KC. Now Minnesota still has a number of that resources, so they use that in Columbus. I think it's a good move for them. I think he's a talented player. I think he's a guy who was one of the – people had him, I think, ahead of Justin Miram 2-3 years ago, and now Miram got the new contract. I think he's taken over as the more dominant player, but that doesn't mean Finley still doesn't have that potential. 27 years old. And Minnesota, I like the idea that they're admitting their mistakes, right? They've already signed 12 wingers.
I mean, they kind of had to admit it. I mean, there was no mystery.
But they signed 12 wingers. They're not the right guys. They went out and got another one who can play in this league. I'm okay with that. They're going out and they're signing a couple more forwards. There's a lot of pieces that they need, But I don't mind them going out and getting a talented MLS player.
The flip side for them, I think if you look at a lot of their moves, a good number of loans when you look at like the Basheem Kadri's of the world. But you're going to see in January, I think, a big turnover with that roster because they have to. Either offloading bad contracts in the Vadim Demidovs of the world. They've already done so with the goalkeeper they initially brought in and have moved them off. Albaga, if I remember the pronunciation that we're throwing our way. But I like the fact, Ali, that it seems to me that general managers are more willing to not just admit those mistakes, but remedy them. And maybe that's a function of what resources are in the market and what resources they have and what resources they can move. There were a lot of trades that went down here. Elise Gill goes to Colorado. Dylan Powers goes to Orlando. I like that move because now both guys get a fresh start. We've wanted to see and been screaming about this. Dylan Powers getting a new place to go for years now, like years. Pablo just didn't seem to rate him. Christian Dean. Stuck on the bench in Vancouver, probably not getting off the bench with Parker and Watson in front of him. He goes to Chicago for $50K in TAM, and they tie some performance-related stuff on later and some sell-ons. So Vancouver still gets something out of it. Aaron Mond to Vancouver. He wasn't playing at RSL. Bobby Boswell, Lamar Nagel, they move on to different locations so DC can move and build and bring in these five guys. Russell Canoes as well. Bruno Miranda, a young forward from Bolivia, another guy who came in. I like that the GMs and sporting directors are making moves and aren't afraid to pull some triggers. But I know that I'm saying that from a position in the media where I want to see it happen because it's interesting to talk about and it's cool and I want to see players get an opportunity. It's got to be a lot harder to actually get those over the line and know that the right move for your organization when you're the one doing it.
Yeah, so I think you know, it's a lot easier to look at these things in hindsight, and we've got to be careful. Is this just a transfer window where there's just a lot of players that are being moved, whether that's brought in or traded within the league? Is that just a one-off, or is it a symptom of something different? There is more cash in the system, and so usually that brings about a more fluid trade market. At the same time, you know, you look at some of the changes that have occurred in the CBA a couple years ago. There's a lot more players that have guaranteed contracts, and so you know when players have when the structure of certain contracts are a little bit more rigid, a lot of times that puts a freeze on the trade market. With that being said, it's been counterbalanced with the targeted allocation money, the expansion teams, and the allocation money. And then you've also had expansion, and so teams are having to prepare for these expansion drafts that come with rules and parameters, and you're trying to figure out, okay, I want to be good in the summer, I want to be good for the playoffs, but I also want to prepare my team such that I can keep it together for the following year. So you're taking all these different mechanisms that are used to move different players in, and then in addition to that, you've got all this allocation, you've got all this targeted allocation, and you're able to make decisions, and you're able to move players. And I think that's what happened in this summer window.
Also, it's sort of a copycat league. Everyone learns from each other.
Yeah.
Portland and Seattle both made late runs. Seattle made a big addition in Nico Lodera. I feel like GMs out there and coaches out there can look at it and say, hey, we're not that far off. It's worth it to make this move.
Not only that, but also you see this league is an incredible league where you can turn it around in one window, whether that's the winter window or whether that's the summer window. You have that opportunity. You know, there's a lot of parity, and you know teams have to bring it night in and night out if they want to get a result. The opportunity is there. I know, you know, between 2000 and 2001, you had San Jose finish at the bottom of the table, and then in 2001, they brought in a player, Landon Donovan, and they ended up winning the MLS Cup. They also brought in Jeff Agus and a couple other players. So, you know, and then you look at what happened with Colorado last year. You look at, you know, knock on wood for the Chicago fans. You look at what's happening with them this year. So there's that opportunity to really turn your organization around with a couple key signings.
Let's talk about under-the-radar signings. Look, the DPs and TAMs, they're the ones that are going to be plastered on the front of MLSsoccer.com and ESPNFC and everywhere else. That's what people like to talk about. It's the big money. It's the transfer fees. It's the big profiles. But you mentioned it. It's not always those guys that are maybe the tipping point. Yeah, that could be the difference maker, but it might be that under-the-radar guy that gets it done, and maybe it's building for the future of your franchise. I'm going to throw it to you first, Dave. The signing that got you a little bit excited that maybe the reaction outside didn't match.
Excited isn't the right word, but I'd say two that I saw that you said, that could be the piece that team needs is, Philippe Senderos in Houston. I don't know that he's the guy. He's played like 25 games in the last 4 years professionally.
Yeah, he hasn't played a ton.
But he's a former Swiss international. He's a former high-level player. They need a center back.
Leonardo, 3 World Cups for him, by the way. I'd love to have Arsenal on my resume at the beginning because then everybody says until the end of time that you're an
you
Arsenal
get paid.
Player.
That's why he went to Chelsea because now he's going to get paid for the rest of his life. So Houston needs that player. I don't know that he's that guy, but I think this is a very good team. I think that's their biggest hole. You also have in Vancouver bringing in Aaron Mond, who's an experienced central defender who I think could start in MLS. That's a great player to have on your bench. And this player, Ali Ghazal, coming in Egyptian international, just 25 years old, that could either play in holding mid or play at center back. That's two potential starting pieces that you add at this point without a huge outlay. That's a really productive window for them. And Matias Laba's regressed. And then maybe MLS has gotten that much better, but he's not the player that he looked like when he got traded from Toronto. He's not the player he was that first year. And Andrew Jacobson's done a great job over the last 2 years, but there's some space there to improve for that team.
What about you, Ollie? What's the move under the radar you thought was
so
sneaky good?
Yeah, for me, and the Red Bulls do a good job of this, but for me, it's James Sands of New York City FC. And I say that because he's a homegrown player. And when you see a club like New York City FC that signs these big names, you know, like David Villa and like all the Lampards and all the other big-time players that they've signed, you want to make sure that they're still investing in their local community and having the confidence to sign those local players. And so, you know, it will remain to be seen how he develops over time, as a professional. But in terms of the process and the direction, I think it's very, very smart. And it's a really good sign for not just, the local community in New York City metropolitan area, but I think it's great for clubs in the league.
Send a signal.
Well, Patrick Vieira started him down in Ecuador in the preseason. And Yangel Herrera is probably not going to be here next year,
It's too bad because he is arguably the best young player in the
league. But he's here on loan, and James Sands plays the same position, a young player that Patrick Vieira clearly has shown he'll trust.
Said he wanted 2 or 3 players in this window.
Yeah.
He came out publicly and said, look, we would like to get those players to take us to the next level. Didn't get them. His comments today were like, look, didn't happen. That's okay. We still think we have a team that can compete for the ultimate prize, which is MLS Cup, but it will remain to be seen whether that inactivity hurts them just a little bit. I'm going to throw out Samuel Piette in Montreal, 22 years old, 30-plus caps for the Canadian national team. He's got good experience over in second divisions in Europe. That midfield, as we've talked about many times, is not the youngest. Marco Donadel, he'll pull a man down on the break. He'll pull a man down on the break, but he's got a little bit of class and guile to him. We know that. Patrice Bernier, I will forever be a fan of his. But I think getting some young blood in there was really important to them. And then this trade that came out today, the Callum Malice trade, it's for like a 4th-round draft pick. I like that because it immediately gives you depth for, I think, both Ozzie and for Roldan. And he's not a starter. Not a starter for a good playoff team, but he is a good piece to fill in. And for that outlay, it's pretty good. Also, Bobby Boswell to Atlanta. They just sneakily got like.
So you're just going to name every trade.
You had three? You had three?
I had two.
No, I think you went three.
No, I had two.
Okay, Vancouver made more than one. I'm going to go four then. I'm going to throw also out there Marcelo Silva for RSL.
Like
if he's the answer next to Justin Glad, that could be big for them.
I don't understand that Aaron Mond trade. I think I mentioned it to one of you when we were walking in. Like, you've had a million injuries at center back. You've got another center back. That doesn't mean you get rid
of
one.
And also, he and Glad looked really good together. Yeah. For a while, so
I think everyone would look good with Justin Glad, potentially
us
as well.
You're big on that train? Okay, no, I am too. I'm just confirming for you. We're gonna have Dave Casper here in just a little bit. We will get to that in just a second. We'll talk all things DC United in the second segment. Look, there were some other trades that went down. We talked about those. Lamar Nagel to Seattle. I don't think I mentioned that one. DC United just moving guys, making sure that they switch it up.
So we talked about winners. Is there any big losers for you guys coming out of this one?
Let's call it roster holes left unfilled, because Ali said it. In this league, it's hard to say a big loser because you might get like relegated, for instance. Like, that's not going to happen to you. You still have an opportunity. Maybe you just didn't fill the hole. I'm going to throw New England out there, and I know that there's before I call them a hole unfilled, can we talk Christian Nemeth? It's not official yet.
We can do whatever you want, Andrew.
Let's talk Christian Nemeth. I knew there was another move that I was missing here. Sporting KC fans.
This is what happens when teams get active.
I know. Sporting KC fans in a tizzy last night because they assumed at the end of the deadline, as they're beating San Jose in penalties in the Open Cup, that they were going to get one of their favorite forwards back, a guy who helped lead them to some silverware, who was very, very good for a couple of years, Christian Nemeth, who was sold to Algarafa. Well, they were not able to get the allocation order spot needed because New England moved up. They moved up initially in early July from the 5 to the 2, and then last night, reporting Taylor Twellman, they moved up to the 1. This has not become official yet, but we think it's probably going to happen. They grab Christian Nemeth, and they paid $325,000 in allocation money to Columbus Crew SC to do so.
To swap picks?
Yes, from 1 to 2.
Wow,
which is
so Columbus is now 1 again.
Yeah.
So Columbus got $325,000 in allocation to stay number 1 in the allocation.
They're recouping a lot of what they spent on Kakutamane, is what I'm telling you.
That is a good move by Columbus.
Explain to me, Dave, why New England would do this.
I can't.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's a good player. You're getting a good player.
It's a talented player. It's a guy who's already been successful in this league. So that knocks a couple off the list for you, right? It's a full international that you know can play in MLS. I don't know that he's the position of need for them. They have a lot of players in there. You can talk about rotation, but that seems to almost be a problem for them at this point. It's like no one gets a flow. No one gets confident. No one really knows their role week in and week out. And so you were about to say that they were a loser for you because a hole for them defensively is that they're kind of a sieve, and he's not that player. He's not going to add
anything.
Claude
Dielna is a TAM center back. They have two other TAM center backs in Ben Angua and Antonio De La Mea, who they brought in and did not solve the problem. So I guess I'm calling them a loser because I just want to see what happens with Claude Dielna. Christian Nemeth could come in and score a ton of goals. They could still give up a ton of goals. And if those two things happen, I still don't think they make the playoffs. So that's the question.
Yeah.
How do you spend – by the way, I look at this TAM list, Ali, and I see a lot of defenders in the summer window coming in via TAM. Dielna, Loris Mabiala for Portland, Marcelo Silva for RSL, Kelvin Leerdam, who I think we probably should have mentioned in the under-the-radar section there, for Seattle. They went out, and those guys are starting to get some money from MLS teams on the international market. When you invest in a defender – How do you balance that? Is that a worthwhile investment?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on what your existing roster looks like, what guys you have in the pipeline as well, in terms of if it's a worthy investment. You know, there's a phrase, you get what you pay for, and that's not always the case. But if you need to have quality in all parts of the field, you know, at the defensive position as well as in the midfield and up top. And it looks like New England this year has had, for whatever, they have a talented team, but for whatever the reason is, they've had difficulty, you know, keeping the ball out of the net. And so the opportunity to bring on a talented player that plays in the back, it makes sense. You bring him aboard, and that guy might be the difference between whether or not you make the playoffs or whether or not you advance the MLS Cup. You know, as it gets closer to October, it gets colder. There's less goals that are scored. Everything's a little bit more physical. People are a little bit more tight. And so it's important that you have a defense that can withstand all of that. So, you know, it's a game of inches, and you need to find ways to improve your team, New England specifically, talent all over the park, whether that's in the midfield, up top, et cetera. So I think if this player we have to see if the player works out, but it was the right decision because it was the right strategy, and the thought process behind it, I feel, was made sense.
I think one of the things that I notice with this is you look at the teams, and it's a salary cap league. There's a ton of mechanisms to get players in. If you hit on one, like, for example, Seattle, homegrown player in Jordan Morris, that's a starter. Christian Roldan, a generation Adidas draft pick, that's a starter. Now you have the cap space to put a TAM signing at right back. Where in the past, or for some teams that build purely, try and build through the transfer market, you can't spend a ton of money there because you need to spend it on your center forward, your attacking mid. So I think you look at these teams, and they've been creative, or they've hit gold at times. Maybe it's some purpose. Maybe you don't know that it's going to happen. I mean, you had Mike Grella. You get a guy like that, a low cap it. Now you can invest on a center back, more money. And for those teams, they're a step ahead. Toronto's been able to do both, which is what's been so impressive about them. But that's one of the things that I noticed when you look at this list of now. We're one piece away because we nailed it on these three. We can seriously spend the money on a right back or a center back to make sure that we can get to the MLS Cup.
You figured Sporting KC could seriously spend on a center forward given what they got for Dom Dwyer earlier in the window. Christian Nemeth seemed to be that guy. Their fans were not happy about this. Dave, should they be upset that they didn't go invest up top? And we'll get to Dave Casper in just a second,
yeah,
but that's the last question I have for you.
I think so. I don't know. I don't know that you could be upset when Peter Vermes has led this team so well in the past. So I don't know that you can be quote unquote upset. They're in a U.S. Open Cup final, and they're the first team in the Western Conference. But I think it was an opportunity. I think you could have added more talent.
I agree.
We'll see.
I agree.
MLS Cup is at stake. A ton of moves here in the secondary transfer window. It closed at 11:59, but moves are not done. Roster freeze is September 15th. So if there's not an ITC coming in from another country, a.k.a. free agents, you can make that happen. All right, hit us up. Hot Take Hotline, 401-206-0MLS. We're going to go to break. On the other side, DC United's Dave Casper.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental. Hanging out in the Blue Room, Andrew Wiebe, David Goss, Ali Curtis has left the building, but we really appreciate all his insight
Legend.
And help. He understands a lot about the MLS roster rules and everything else that only someone who had a hand in building them and then worked under them for a number of years would have. It was really impressive.
It is alphabet soup to most of us, and it's stuff like we all know parts of it pretty well, I feel like. Like, everyone's like, I have a strong grasp on TAM. I have a strong grasp on draft picks, homegrown.
It's when you start plugging it all into, like, a five-year plan, yeah. And you've got these 10 windows and these other mechanisms right. And expansion drafts and everything else that you start seeing, you know, why you might need a 500-page
plan. I think we know from covering it, and we love this, that the league literally never ends. Like, you have an expansion draft the day after you get home from MLS Cup. And then 2 weeks later, you head out for combine and draft. So we love that. But if you're trying to plan in advance across that, it's like you're constantly doing something and then planning the next three windows.
Yeah, you know what, Dave Casper? Probably doing a lot of planning, probably doing a lot of executing, too. The GM of DC United will join us in just 1 second to explain how and why DC went out and made this massive splash in the summer window. DeShawn Brown came in earlier in the summer, transferred from Tampa Bay. Bruno Miranda, young teenage forward from Universidad de Chile, came in. They got that in for the deadline. But Zoltan Stiber out of Kaiserslautern, Russell Knus, who you probably know from U.S. Youth International teams and was at Hoffenheim, though had played in two Bundesliga with Bochum last year. And then the big one, Paul Areola from Club Tijuana, $3.5 million, the reported transfer fee there, about $1 million a year in salary, a young DP, that's what's also being reported. Then you have to shell out $500K in Gam and Tam to even get the right to sign him from the LA Galaxy. DC United made more than a splash. Yeah. They stole this news cycle, Dave. They needed to steal it. They needed to steal it because it's been a really tough season for them so far at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Doesn't look like they have the ability to make a run, though maybe with these new signings, they might be able to push and do what Seattle Sounders did last year. What message did Dave Casper, Ben Olsen, and ultimately ownership send to their fan base and the rest of the league?
They send a message that things are changing, that they're opening up a new stadium, which is something that we've all asked for a lot of time, but also that they're going to spend in a different way, that they're going to look at a different profile of player, and that profile is younger. In their prime players. Stiber's in his prime Hungarian international. Paul Areola is the beginning of his career as a young DP.
But he has like 90 appearances in Mexico.
Yeah, he's played professional soccer for 4 years already. He's only 22 years old. But he's only going to hit your cap at a lower number because he's a young DP, which means you still have space to do more. This isn't it. This isn't 2018's roster. But this is a ton of the pieces that they're going to build around. Russell Knus on a free to play alongside.
That's a really good piece of business.
And let's think of it like this. Him and Ian Harkes at holding mid. Stiber, Lucho Acosta, Paul Areola, Patrick Mullins in front of them, or DeShawn Brown. That's a decent team. That's
or
a
another
strong
guy
team.
That they bring
or
in.
Another
or
another big
left,
signing.
Yeah.
And that's a younger team. It's a more athletic team. It's a team that probably wants more of the ball. They know how to play with the ball a little bit better. A lot of players who are comfortable in tight spaces. Players that I think can play off of Lucho Acosta, and he can play off of. And I think that's my big problem right now is you've built your team around this Boca Juniors young designated player 4 goals, 3 assists this year. He just doesn't have guys that play the same way as him, that he can link up with, that he can play off of, like Mauro Diaz has in Dallas, like Diego Valeri has in Portland. And I think you're giving those options to push him to a higher level, and you bring in more talent.
Look, I think the writing's been on the wall. To compete in MLS in this era with the expansion, with the LAFCs, we didn't even – you know, we talked about Carlos Vela, but not even that much, which is really indicative of this window and how busy and active that it's been. With the Seattles, the New Yorks, the, you know, even the Houston Dynamo are going out and spending millions on Tomas Martinez. Like, if you want to be a top half team, if you want to make the playoffs, because remember, the league is expanding and there's less and less spots and the percentages go down and down and down, you've got to spend. And you've got to spend at a different level, on a different profile, in a different way than teams have done before. We've seen teams over the course of the last 10 years spend big on DPs. Haven't really spent big on those transfer fees. Haven't really gone out and spent big on young players that maybe aren't 100% sure bets, that you don't know exactly what you're getting. But that ultimately is the gamble. That's the Atlanta United gamble. We're spending on established pros that are young that we think maybe down the line we can sell. Now, that's not to say that DC United's looking at Paul Arroyo and saying we can sell him, but that's a possibility. So they can see him progress into maybe a goal scorer because, by the way, he has not been a goal scorer professionally.
Well, that's the scary part is. Almiron and Villalba had at least done it at a professional level.
You're saying done it when you're saying box score, goals, assists, that
Paul
sort of
Arriola production. Was a good player for Tijuana last year. He was a good player for the U.S. national team at the Gold Cup. He has never been the guy. He has never put up – I don't think he scored more than 2 goals
in a season. I don't
think
they expect him to be the guy, by the way.
That's a lot of money for not the
it
guy.
Is.
Which is
but
then
that's changing MLS.
Which is another sign. I just think you play well to close out this season. You have an idea of who you are as a team. You excite your fan base and the city going into a new stadium. You got to keep Bill Hamid, by the way. That's a part of that, of keeping your local kid. And then you've got a face to sell going into the World Cup, going into a new stadium, the expanding league next year. I think that's
a lot of excitement. I got to believe there's more faces to come. This is, I think, kind of that opening salvo from DC United. By the way, if you haven't seen the renderings of Audi Field, it looks dope. It looks so cool. Go check those out. Dave Casper, the GM of DC United, is on the line. Dave, how's it going?
It's much better today than it was this time yesterday, Andrew.
I can imagine. You were burning the midnight oil, and it seemed like things might not get done. Reports trickling out, this, that, and the other. Bruno Miranda got done early. That had to feel good. Zoltán Stieber comes in from Germany, the Hungarian international. Russell Knus, which is an interesting one. We haven't heard from him in a little while, but he's been doing his thing in Germany. And then the big one, the record breaker, Paul Arriola, coming in from Club Tijuana for reportedly around $3.5 million, a record transfer fee for your club. How many phones were ringing? How many folks did you have working on this? How close did it get to the deadline?
We had a lot of phones going. We had a lot of people working, including many people from the technical staff who did a great job yesterday because we had to get medicals done yesterday. We had to get pickups from the airport. We needed documents scanned and we need documents, redone. So there were a lot of moving parts yesterday. So it's pretty exciting.
So what does this say? And we'll get to these individuals in just a second, because obviously I have questions about each. What was the message that you think or that you feel like you sent to your fan base? What was the intent? Well, what was the strategy behind this kind of flurry of moves?
Sure. We've been saying all along, including our ownership, who've gone on record saying, in time, we will, increase our level of investment in players. And we are finally at a point where shovels in the ground and a lot more than that. I mean, it's unbelievable right now, the way the stadium looks, Audi Field, as it looks today. It's incredible. But we're finally level where there's some daylight. There's been a lot of money spent on the stadium, Andrew, a lot of money just to get the approvals from the city. And now, owners are putting a lot of money out of their pocket to build this stadium quite a bit on their own. So we have to bear that in mind, but finally there's daylight now. And this summer was the time to begin that level of spending. So, as I told many people, Paul being the biggest signing, coming via transfer from Tijuana, that's the strategy we wanted to go after with at least early in the signing of DPs, is to get young players with great potential and great upside in many ways, and we feel we've accomplished that with Paul.
Of course, people will look at that transfer fee, and I look at the whole league, and I think, boy, you know, when I first started covering this thing 10 years ago, to even see a transfer fee paid, let alone to see a seven-figure one and multi-million-dollar transfer fees paid, would have been a surprise. Why was Paul Arriola worth this amount of investment to the club? Why, on the level of salary as well as transfer fee, as well as allocation fee to LA Galaxy, because you had to get that right of first refusal, why Paul Arriola and why this amount of money? And how long have you been chasing, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure. He's at a great age. I mean, he's 22 years old with terrific experience in Mexico. He just had a breakout season in Mexico, and he just, let's face it, he just broke out, like really broke out in the Gold Cup. We feel it was perfect time to get him, that if we waited in December, quite possibly his transfer value goes up 50%. And then maybe a year from now, potentially after a World Cup, maybe it's double. So we feel that it was a strategic decision. Look, it is a lot of money, and let's get used to seeing this, because we're going to see this more and more in our league now, I believe, especially when you go after younger players. They cost more, you know, than your, you know, 31, 32-year-old named designated player who's done everything, who comes as a free agent, right? And so you're just strictly paying salary. But you've got to invest in young talent, and that's what everyone does around the world. But to, specific to your question, we felt Paul ticked a lot of boxes. He first of all, he's an extremely quality person, just a stand-up guy who is all about his team first, really. And that's number one. But the kid's got tons of potential. He's got tons of quality, you know, in terms of playing the wide midfield positions. He knows how to play the positions. In fact, we were talking last night about all the coaches he's had in his 4 years there. And he said, look, it's been positive, negative. The positive is that I've learned different styles of play, different formations. I've been asked to do different things, and I've really had a, you know, speed course on learning the position and learning the game. So he's really a very smart player. You know, he's got good physical tools. He's quick. You know, he comes inside, he can beat you with a dribble. He just has a lot of things about him. And again, his age, he's going to be on the national team moving forward. He's on his way up, Andrew, and that's really what this is about as well.
I don't think there's any doubt that his trajectory is going one way. The one thing that I think folks would have a concern about, and look, sometimes the box score is not the most important thing, and we know that. This is a sport that requires 11 players with specific roles. He has not been a guy who's filled it up as far as goals scored go in Mexico. Is that a concern at all, or is this the sort of thing where you're saying, look, he's a wide midfielder. We expect him to create. He'll be opportunistic. But I think anybody who watched that Gold Cup also looks at him and says his work rate, his defensive side, is potentially a game changer as well.
You bring up a great question. The guy knows how to win games. He's going to help the team win games, and that's a very important criteria. But aside from that, in terms of production, again, he's young, and he's going to continue to grow, and his final product is only going to get better. We were actually talking yesterday about Villalba, who was his teammate for a short period of time before he went to Atlanta. He's like, look, he kind of had a hard time adjusting there and didn't really play a lot. And look, he's come into our league and has exploded. So he has all the tools, and I have no doubt he's going to put points on the board for the team. But most importantly, as I said, he's going to help the team win games, period.
Left side, Zoltán Stieber. He's a guy who's scored goals certainly for Hungary, but he's bounced around a good bit in Germany, has great experience there. When you look at him, what is it that you identified in Zoltán? And he's not a guy in that profile like you were talking about that's super young. He's an in-prime guy who's a fully fledged international. And there were rumors that you guys were going to have to pay $1 million to get him. Then it comes out that he came on a free. That has to feel really good to get that sort of quality. What do you expect from this guy?
Yeah, no doubt. It must have been good negotiating to get him for a free transfer.
Who would have done that?
Look, when you mention his name, you talk about quality. The guy just has incredible feet. He's a great passer, has great vision. He's going to help us connecting passes and maintaining possession. And in the final third, I mean, we have a great analytics department with Stuart Mayer is running it, and his data points in terms of chance creation were off the charts. You know, we spent a lot of time looking at various options, and this guy's production were unbelievable in the attacking third. So we feel that this guy, in terms of his ability to manufacture, you know, goals, is going to be a big addition for us. He's a really good guy. I mean, awesome guy, very humble, again, which is really important to us. It's always has been and always will be the quality of people we're bringing in. He's 28 years old. He really is in his prime, where some of the other younger ones are, you know, not even close to their prime or entering the prime. This guy's in his prime, and it just made absolute sense, especially on a free transfer, to grab this guy. And look, we've seen two Hungarians come into our league and tear it up, Nikolic in Chicago and Nemeth, who I hear is coming back. They did quite well in this league, so he's got the pedigree, and we're certainly hoping for the same.
Daniel Shaw, we're having a good time with Sporting KC. We've got some Hungarian listeners out there, Dave, so I'm sure they're going to be happy to hear about this. You mentioned those guys that aren't even close to their prime, and Bruno Miranda is a teenager still, and Russell Knus is just starting his career in a first-team sense. These guys, are they folks that you look at 2017 and say, yes, come right into the lineup, you'll help us? Or are these longer-term projects, or is there a little bit of split between the two?
Yeah. I think Russell certainly has more experience. You know, he was a captain for Julian Nagelsmann, the current first team manager at Hoffenheim, when they won the German under 19 team. The German under 19 championship. He just has a different level of experience. He's been in a great soccer environment for 6 years. Hoffenheim is a big time club. I was actually there this past May, and he's cut his teeth a little bit in the second division, you know, at Bochum. And we're very lucky. This one was really about timing for us and being able to get this one over the line. But we expect Russell to contribute right away. I mean, we're going to see this kid on the field. We have high expectations for what he's going to bring us long term.
What about Bruno? What's his what's his trajectory for you look like?
I'll tell you what, this kid, he has some real tools. He came in on trial and, you know, for about 10 days in June, and he broke some records in terms of our physical testing. He's got real physical tools, but he's got real soccer to him. You know, Ben was telling me actually last week that, you know, he'll jump in a five-a-side game now and again when it's a day where maybe a day after a match and he's got guys who need some minutes and get some touches, and Benny will jump in. And yeah, look, I'd still sign Benny for a 10-minute cameo to make a play.
Playing a yellow card, maybe.
He's like, look, I was on Bruno's team today. I really enjoy playing with this guy. He just gets it. He's got good understanding of the game. This kid's going to be playing for Bolivia and going to be a regular starter in due course. We got him at a great age. We were somewhat lucky in that he came from Universidad de Chile, which is a big club. They have a lot of foreign players, and he wasn't going to get his chance. And it was just perfect time for us to grab him. And we really feel some big things are on the way for this kid.
What kind of forward is he? Is he a guy in a two-forward system, a single forward up top? What do you envision?
He's got some versatility with him, probably a forward in a two-forward system, can play wide, still has to learn, you know, transition game out wide. But he can play a couple different roles. And I wouldn't count him out as a future nine as well because of his physical tools.
Dave, you, what strikes me here is the profile of these guys. And obviously there are, you know, eras with clubs and strategies that come and go and financial considerations. And for a long time, it seemed like DC in particular has been one that's really focused on the Bobby Boswells and Lamar Nagels of the world and Fabian Espindola's, for instance, to go back to a couple of players here, two that you traded away in this window. And you looked for experience and guys with MLS experience and guys in their prime. Is that changing? Are you looking for a different profile of player? Are you building your team in a different way as you begin to enter a new era at Audi Field?
Well, we certainly, you know, in these four additions, we expect these guys to play now, but also be here for quite a long time and you know, and grow with us as we move into Audi Field. But we also, you know, the Bobby Boswells of the world, you know, that guy was very important to our rebuild 4 years ago. It was an important piece, and those guys will still continue to be important. You know, it's really important to have a good blend of veteran players and younger players. And we just happens in this window that we've really gone after younger talent You know, and we will continue to build with younger players, but not to say that we're not going to make some deals to get some more veteran players in here down the line.
If you were going to outline to me, Dave, what the core of this team is, who you're building around, who, when you move into that new stadium, will be kind of the big faces up on the billboard and the guys that go into that starting 11 and that you think, okay, well, we've got a guy here that is here to stay and is an important piece of our future. Who are the guys currently on the roster whose names that you think of?
I think we have several of those guys. I think starting at the back with Bill Hamid, with Steve Birnbaum, you know, now with Paul Areola, with Lucho Costa, you know, those are four extremely talented players. I'm trying to think if I've left anybody out, but we've got other guys who are very important. Nick DeLeon is a guy that I probably get more phone calls from other clubs in the league to trade for than anybody else on the roster, because those are extremely important guys in helping you win games. So we have a good core of young talent that has a lot of experience that we're very excited with moving forward.
Bill Hamid, of course, is a guy that we've watched for years and years and years. And for me, anybody with that homegrown tag, I automatically have a little bit of an affinity for, just because I love to see clubs develop their own talent and bring them up and give them the opportunity and have them shine. Bill's done all that. There have been negotiations this year. My understanding is correct, he is out of contract after this year. Can you shine some light on that? Is that indeed the case? And are negotiations ongoing? Do you feel like there will be a resolution to those anytime soon?
Well, we certainly hope so. You know, it'd be nothing better to open up Audi Field than having Bill, you know, in our nets, and we're certainly all working towards that. And negotiations are what they are. We continue to plug away, and hopefully we get it over the line in the near future.
All right, one more before I let you go, Dave. Congratulations on what is a very successful window. Before we came on here, I named you guys winners. It's not like I had to go out on a huge limb to do that. Audi Field, I've been watching the stadium cam. I am one of those people that are sitting there just looking at, you know, steel trusses go up and watching the pitch of the stands and thinking, oh, man, it's going to be a great day when this thing opens for DC United. The countdown is on at RFK Stadium. There's a lot of work to do to still on that field out there. Do you expect opening day 2018 to be at Audi Field? What's kind of the trajectory timeline-wise on construction?
I believe we'll be opening toward the end of June, early July next year is when the stadium will be all finalized and ready to open.
Beautiful. What's your favorite part of it? What should I look forward to when I make the inevitable trip?
The space between the first seat and the touchline is probably going to be the shortest distance of any stadium in the league. It's going to be extremely tight and very intimidating and very intimate. It's going to be a great experience for our fans.
You heard it here first. You can reach out and touch Paul Areola, and we are looking forward to see him play maybe this weekend, maybe in the weeks upcoming. It's going to be a blast to see that young U.S. start to make his name in MLS. Dave Casper, GM of DC United. Dave, congrats on a successful window. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back now on Extra Time Radio, hanging out in the Blue Room, Andrew Weeby, David Goss, that's Lord Huron leading you back in. That was a request of Ollie Curtis, so now you know he's going through his ears every day as he works on his house and does his thing. If you didn't watch the live show, he said he's just been hanging out with his kids, having fun, enjoying the summer. We'll see what happens to him in the coming months, but a real pleasure to have him on the show. Before we get to the Hot Take Hotline, 401-206-0MLS. It's a very special Thursday. Ollie Curtis, Dave Casper. I feel confident in saying Ben Bear's name belongs in that pantheon.
I'm definitely among the greats.
Yeah, you
I
are.
I mean, I am one of the best people to ever appear on this show.
You hear that, Dave? He was calling us the greats. He's among us.
Yeah.
He's with us.
sure.
Now, you guys aren't included in that.
No, we are. It's a very special Bears Lair today. Matt Doyle is out writing 50 columns about all the different moves that happened on transfer deadline day. So
when
you should
GMs
go read
make
those.
Trades, they break Matt Doyle's life.
Yeah. So MLSsoccer.com or the MLS app, that's where those are available. Go check them out. And remember to go follow our Facebook page, facebook.com/extratimelive. You can get all the live shows there. We have a great time doing those. And there's a big one coming up on Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern. I am out. So Dave made a move, some GAM, some TAM. Maybe some other assets.
Yeah, it's an emergency loan from one of my USL teams to bring in Stephen Keel, and then Ariel Castillo I was able to get in.
Extreme hardship.
Yeah, yeah. And Ariel Castillo I was able to get in, fortunately, at the last minute because I got a ton of TAM in my sale earlier in the season of Ben Bear.
Yep. But he's back now. We kind of like, you know, buy low, sell high.
We also sold Bobby Warshaw internationally, so we got 650K.
Yeah, we sold him to the A-League.
Yeah, so we got 650K on that one as
before
well.
We get to your texts and calls and emails and all that, we really appreciate that. It makes the mailbag maybe our favorite segment to do. U.S. Open Cup semifinal was played last night. Sporting Kansas City locked in the final host ship. I don't know if that's how you say it, but they will host the final because they beat the San Jose Earthquakes 1-1. How'd they do that? Well, they won in penalties. So
God, this is the most poorly explained thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Why would you lay it out like that?
Well, they went to penalties and they won on penalties. Let's
here,
just put it
here
that
was
way.
The best part about it. They went to penalties and won on penalties. Benny Failhaber, who has never missed a penalty since he's joined Major League Soccer, both in the regular season and a shootout, he had his first shot saved. And then
wasn't a particularly good penalty.
No. And then Chris Wondolowski had his first shot saved, and then everyone else scored until Victor Bernardes, which was the sixth shooter.
Yeah.
That's, like, kind of bizarre.
I kind of felt Victor was going to miss that.
Really?
When he did the little chop step shuffle to start, I was like, oh, well, Victor's just going to hit it hard. He's going to hit it, like, chest high, and there's no way.
You knew he was going to blast it because he.
Florin Youngworth hit his clean.
Yes. Well, when he was coming up, I wanted to tweet something about how there's no chance he would miss, being German and all. No, didn't
That's
happen.
That's very forward thinking
know,
of
it
you.
It is, I know. Yeah, but I'm back to like 1960 with my soccer opinions.
KC played well. I mean, it was an entertaining game. Look, but San Jose took no possession.
Where's the cutting edge? They had the ball the entire game. Other teams are going to look at Children's Mercy Park and say, okay, we'll just bunker. We'll hit you on the counter. You guys were, you know, it was available like four or five times.
Yeah.
That's all you need on the road.
San Jose had a few times where if they just switched the field, like Shea Salinas was wide open down one side. Vaco was wide open, and they just couldn't, like, find that change of point. Danny Hosen looked pretty dangerous, obviously scored the goal, like, was playing that back line, that offside line.
But he was kind of
line.
On his own. They really just
– Oh, completely on his own.
Yeah, they didn't push Ben, were you surprised that Wando didn't start this game? It's a huge game. It's a semifinal.
I'm always surprised when Wando doesn't start for the Quakes. I mean,
it was just struck me as weird. Like, I guess they're thinking we're going to play on the counter, so Vaco and Hosen are more like guys that can get out and run. And if we keep it close, then Wando comes in late. But this is your dude. This is your goal scorer.
Is he your dude?
Yeah, but it's not like you don't think of it that way. You think of it. Wando is the Quakes' star. Like, you don't. Ben
is he, though?
Star.
Is he Jesse Firinelli's star? Is he Chris Leach's star? I mean, a new Quake.
These are the questions that need to be answered because we don't really know the answers to them right now. We'll see what happens down the stretch run. They have a lot of players at that position right now.
Yeah.
And they are going for the playoffs.
Yeah,
so
they have signed
if
a lot
Wando
of players.
Starts not getting playing time, this becomes a story.
Dave was throwing out a really fun trade idea here earlier as we just kind of, you know, were throwing stuff and seeing if it would stick to the wall, and we have no idea if it would. But do you want to share that or – You keep that to yourself.
I'll keep it to myself.
Really?
Well, you can't make trades anymore, so it doesn't matter.
That's a good point.
But I had said someone should go out and try and trade for Chris Wondolowski, proven goal scorer. You could have gotten him, I think, if things are changing. The only thing is, I think he's going to be a part of that club for the long term in terms of, like, leadership, office, club, academy, whatever it is. So I don't know that he'd really want to leave. Let's jump into the hot take hotline. We've got text, calls, mail, Facebook comments from ETL. So if you ever want to post those, we will take those into the podcast if we don't get to them on the show. This is going to be the hottest take of the season. My name's Matt Doyle, not the armchair analyst, sadly, but from Woodbridge, Virginia. I believe DC United will successfully make it to the playoffs, beat whoever else is in it, and host and win MLS Cup. The perfect goodbye to RFK. Also, they will be led to this turnaround by goal scorer Paul Arriola. To do that, by the way, like, I understand how unreal it is.
Literally have to win, like, every single game.
They'd also
to
have
host
to,
the final?
Yeah, to host the final. Be sixth place. Yeah. To host the final would be almost impossible. With this many games left last year, the Sounders were only 5 points out of the playoff spot.
And how much are 13?
When did you make your Barrentine?
August 1st.
So about the same time. You were actually going out a pretty good limb there.
How much Tam and Gam does DC
I go out on limbs. When I make predictions, I'm not going to just be like, oh, the second to last, the last day of the season, DC are five games out. And then, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. Right. No. Go out on a limb. Make your predictions.
Right. How much Tam and Gam would DC have to send you to get a 100% guarantee against them making the playoffs?
I mean, if they don't win
– this market, I feel like that's worth at least like $650, $700.
Except that it's so late. So it's like – it's basically like getting an expiring contract. Like, you know it's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's not
that's
that
the
risky
whole thing.
100%er.
That's what you got to pay for it.
Okay, Sam Schrader, with Minnesota adding Finley, aren't they a little loaded on the wings with Ibarra, Molina, Nicholson, Kadri, and others? Who in Minnesota will stay and who will be out soon?
Well, Kadri is gone. He's definitely not going to be sticking around.
I think they loaned him, though.
Yeah, that was never a question. The big thing is like, okay, so did Adrian Heath just figure out that he doesn't think that Miguel Ibarra is that good? Is that what we're seeing here? Because they've gone out and spent a lot of resources out there.
I think it's been pretty clear since the start of the season that he doesn't think he's that good.
That he doesn't think he's
benched,
that good.
He started the season on the bench. He played a few plays, played here and there. He came out and he said that after 1 week, he said that Ibarra wasn't giving enough effort. And then he hasn't really been playing that much recently. And they just got two more wingers.
Yeah.
I think the proof's in the pudding that he doesn't like Ibarra that much.
Okay. I would like to see, I think Doyle talks about it in preseason, about playing him at a wingback or a fullback position. Obviously, that was a position of need for them as well. Travis Dubois seems like no movement on the number 10 for Philly. Are they thinking the current pieces are enough to make a desperate push to get above the line? Who can you see being targeted for an off-season signing? We haven't talked Philly.
They had a lot of comments about this. We didn't talk Philly because they didn't do anything. Jim Curtin and Ernie Stewart both came out and said, hey, we weren't going to rush in anything. We have a plan in the winter. We have really, really good roster flexibility that allows us to go out and make some moves. But, like, the question is, if you're a Philly fan, do you trust that those moves will be the right ones, given that, like, Jay Simpson came in and has been an absolute non-factor? And, like, Madunyan's been pretty good. I'll give him that.
But he's not been the player to replace Noguera.
Right. I think they provide similar things. Noguera way more mobile.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, Alejandro Bedoya's in there, so you don't need to be the most mobile because he'll be that guy that runs around for you. I do think that desperate push is probably the right way of putting this. Like, this is a team that's fallen off basically down the stretch for the last couple of years and have just kind of, like, squandered good starts. Their start wasn't good, and now they're in a tough place. I mean, I think they're at best a borderline playoff team. And that's with CJ Sapong overperforming what he has in the past, which is not to say that he's not a great player and hasn't been a great player this year. It's just that this is kind of a new level of production for him. If they can get Chris Pontius going, who I don't think has scored a goal this year, that'd be super helpful. But, like, I still think no matter what happens down the stretch, even if they make the playoffs, they're still a team that they're not in that, like, conversation for best teams in the East or even, like, contenders in the
East. They have a 35-year-old guy who didn't play for like 2 or 3 years, starting at one center back.
Say his name because he may come after you.
No, Noguchi Onyewu.
He doesn't like the haters. He doesn't like the haters.
Whatever.
But he also might get a shout out.
And then at the other center back, they have a 4th-round pick who's maybe rookie of the year. He's had a good season.
The rookie of the year campaign around Jack Elliott has been
Jim Curtin is
real strong.
Is hot about this. That's not ideal.
We've gotten very funny comments about that.
Oh, really?
Because Keegan Rosenberry was in the voting last year and he doesn't start. And someone sent us like, oh, so Curtin wants him to win Rookie of the Year so like he could sit on the bench next year next to Keegan Rosenberry.
That's good.
Oh.
I thought they needed another midfield piece. You know, I would say D-mid.
Yeah.
More than a number 10.
Right.
Because Madunyan kind of can do that creator role, and as Bobby Warshaw would say if he was here, the modern 10 is dead anyways. So yeah, that's not really a thing.
So you're saying you don't think Derek Jones is ready?
No, I don't think he's ready.
Okay, I'd agree.
Yeah, that's a tough one to try and put on Derek Jones. Jamie Carter, how much of a loss is it that Seattle lost out on Darylis Gonzalez? In my opinion, this is less of an issue for the Sounders in 2017 and more of an issue for CCL play starting in February 2018. Would have been nice to have him gel with the team for the next 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, look, they have pieces to be, you know, one of those teams you're like, yeah. And they're the hottest team in the league right now. So I think they're in a good spot with or without him. That would have just been that kind of like Nico Lodero addition to an already pretty stacked attack that takes him to another level.
That kind of the guy who won MLS Cup last year.
Did he win MLS Cup?
By himself? Yeah, basically.
Mm.
Played on a level we've not seen from a guy who's okay. A new addition to a team that other things happened. But lost Clint Dempsey.
He dragged them back into the playoff contention and got them over that line. I was thinking you said one MLS Cup by himself. I was like, you're telling me a nil-nil draw in the freezing cold?
Oh, no, okay. I meant
yeah.
Got them
I misunderstood what you were saying there. Yeah, he takes his team from like contender to favorite status up there, I think, with the Torontos and like Chicago Fires of the world.
Yeah.
Right now, they're just probably the top two or three best teams in the West. And they could be more, especially if Nico Lodero gets back to world beater form. It's a bummer for them, but you know, Victor Rodriguez, I believe, he's gonna be at least a versatile piece, and that ought to help. And they already had the talent to make a push.
Hey guys, Ethan from Kansas just listened to Monday's show, and I'm shocked that you would talk about MLS mustaches and not mention El Pibe Carlos Valderrama. Also, congrats to Andrew. If you're looking for a good MLS nickname for your kid, why not El Pibe?
Yeah, we talked about Pibe. I don't know if LP. I think just Pibe. I think maybe we're just going to call him Pibe.
Yeah, well, that's kind of just.
Okay. It's the nickname. I don't have to actually name him that. I just, hey, Pibe.
I'm going to call him Pibe. we got a lot of texts and stuff about how stupid we are about not saying Pablo Mastroianni.
For that the mustache? No. Yeah. I feel okay with not saying that.
Why?
Because Pablo Mastroianni made a show about it, and he was doing a whole thing. Last one.
I actually interviewed him at Superdraft that year.
Well, the question is, yeah.
I wrote a whole story.
See,
about
that's
it.
Question. Absurd.
I know, it is absurd, and it's like, you know what?
Wasn't a player.
If he doesn't have, like, that
when
feels
that
like
happens.
He's compensating. It's like his human spirit wasn't at, like, the right level, so.
For sure. Last piece here from Ethan. Finally, after last night's Open Cup game, why aren't we talking about the fabled treble and the fact that two different teams are in prime position to grab it this year?
That would be Toronto with the Canadian Championship and
Sporting KC.
If they win it. Yeah. They're at home. They'll probably win it.
I don't know.
Not probably, but they're in contention is the point.
I'm not sure I see Sporting KC winning the Shield.
Yeah, that's definitely true, but they're still in contention to do it.
Yeah, but like we could talk about this every year for like it just – I don't know.
To be fair, we usually do.
Yeah
we
that's
always
his
do.
Point.
Like,
yeah.
Let
them win one trophy
let me,
first
yeah,
before
one
we
trophy.
Start dropping
yeah,
treble.
Yeah, like if SKC wins the Open Cup, then I will start talking treble. Get one. Toronto, yeah, 100%. Let's do it. They already
Look,
have one.
Ethan,
they're in first.
You're in the presence of greatness here. Yeah.
SKC,
will tell you.
SKC fans, get out of here.
Oh.
Win one, and then
God,
we'll start talking treble.
Maximus over here, know, not entertained. Michael McGuire, Lamar Wiebe, or Lamar Hunt Wiebe?
I don't hate. Lamar is actually a good one, like for a middle name. Something Lamar Wiebe. I'll have to think about that. I'll have to pitch that to the lady friend here. Because I pitched Thierry, and she...
If you pitch it, can you then tell your kid, hey, the U.S. Open Cup is named after you?
You might be able to stretch it there for a while.
For
until,
a while.
Until you can read.
For a while. No, you'd be surprised. My sister's birthday is July 4th. You'd be surprised how many years it takes to realize the fireworks aren't actually for her birthday. Because you have a sense of reality, and it never breaks until someone, like, shatters
the
glass.
Oh, this was you that thought it was for your sister.
No, it was her. I didn't even know people had fireworks on the 4th of July. I never paid attention. Paul Friedman.
too busy watching the Rapids and SNL games.
Yeah.
To pay attention.
Paul Friedman, you need to start a series of shirts that say extra time, we know MLS. Do you guys like that?
Yeah, I might be an overstatement.
Oh, we actually got one for shirts in the comment section today on the show. La Qualita.
The old
Simon Borg saying that you see on the
La quality. La qualità. Well, here's a little bit more. Under that, extra time we know MLS, it would say, even if sometimes we mispronounce names.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah. Uh-huh.
Extra time we know MLS, underneath it says, but we advertise like Liga MX.
Okay. I'm not sure I understand that
one.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Well, then you'd have like crazy advertisements.
Oh,
sure.
Okay. We're a little slow.
And then
the
extra time, we know MLS from A to Z, Almirón to Zardes.
Like Zardes or Zusi? Zusi's actually like later in the alphabet.
Yeah, that's true. And the last one is, it says extra time, we know MLS in the front, and on the back, it says CONCACAF Camp Counselor.
That's a good one. That's a winner.
CONCACAF Camp Counselor is
that's
a definite contender to be made. We do have a bunch more funds for this. I'm thinking about also making scarves. So I know there are some of you out there that have been blowing me up on Twitter saying,
Derek
hey,
Christensen, it's been two weeks since I thought I earned an extra time radio shirt. When is it acceptable to ask?
Derek, you have earned it. If you haven't listened to the show since then, if you wear an extra large, we got you. But apart from that, we were just stripped of all available inventory.
Did you keep shirts?
I have three extra larges left.
Okay, so I didn't realize.
Just to point out, I didn't get a shirt.
Yeah,
I didn't get a shirt either.
I didn't realize that I was supposed to take them for family and friends.
Wait.
And
what kind of racket do you think this is?
Clearly.
You're just trying to clothe the Goss clan?
Am I not part of the family and friends?
No, you were in a third category.
Me and Goss aren't friends.
Well, look, we're going to get more made, so you'll get your shirts. Don't worry about it. You will definitely get them. We'll make some other cool stuff, too. I think scarves are a good look. And then next year, we're going to just blow it out.
Andrew Wiebe reinventing the wheel.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the real thing we're doing, the real thing we're doing is we're putting the Baron T stamp.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Maybe that's
Sounders have a 0% chance.
Maybe that's one of those shirts.
0% chance. Yeah.
But maybe on that shirt you have like a little thing where it's like you can erase, like dry erase marker, so you can put actual Baron T's on.
Yeah.
I like that. Hey, big thanks to Ali Curtis for joining us. Thanks to Dave Casper, a big transfer window for him. Congratulations to DC United.
I'd actually like to thank every GM in the league for making this really fun.
That is such a good point. I put out a tweet from Extra Time saying, please, have courage, make moves, make us happy. And they did. Hope you're happy with it. Hope you had a good time. Thank you for listening to the show. This is Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.